Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Let them talk and kick ass everywhere they go.
Everywhere they go. One, two, three,
what
four.
What are you singing?
Everywhere they go.
One more time, go.
Tottenham get battered. Everywhere they go. Tottenham get battered. Everywhere they go.
Everywhere they go.
All right, let's start.
For the purpose of our viewers, I drove 1 hour to sit and listen to this.
One hour.
How long did you drive to go to Tottenham Stadium on Monday?
I take the train.
How long was that?
Almost 10 minutes, man.
Okay.
How's the journey back home?
Interesting.
did you leave early?
No, of course not.
You waited till we finished you 4-1.
I never leave games early.
To be fair, good for you because I know certain man that would have seen the high line once you guys were like, I ain't even gonna
lie yet. If I was in your shoes and I kept seeing that high line and Nicholas Jackson was about to score a hat trick, I'm gone.
Finished you.
Okay,
hat you in.
Anyways.
Honestly, I would have gone to my shower and sat in fully clothed, just the water hit my face. If Nicholas Jackson scored a hat trick.
Okay, so Nicholas Jackson scored a hat trick against nine men with a midfielder playing at centre half, a fullback who came on as a centre half and had to then play fullback on the opposite side. Cool.
Whose fault was it that you were down to nine men?
Yeah, we had two red cards.
In fact, it should have been four because both those players have been sent off twice.
Okay, good, okay. Thanks, Timo. Yeah, because obviously you can send someone off twice. Great, cool.
Yeah, they should have.
Cool, thanks for counting.
Okay, cool.
Right, we started this all right.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast. So much has happened this week. There were some wild predictions last week. A couple of people owe Nicholas Jackson an apology, just putting it out there.
Nicholas for scoring three tap-ins, good for him.
Do you know what, Lauren?
Yeah, good for him.
She's so
good for him. Don't act like you don't
to be
right,
fair, because I would have jumped on it, but he dunked on her head. And I thought we're leaving you with something, and then Jackson scored. I was like, fuck.
another tap-in. Congratulations.
Can I do the introduction? Is that okay?
Yeah, carry on.
Is that all right?
Oh, what? So the dancing and the singing, that wasn't part of the introduction?
Should we go again?
You want us to start again?
Tottenham, get battered.
Everywhere they go. Tottenham get battered. Everywhere they go. Everywhere they go.
So yeah, Chelsea played Tottenham on Monday. And they beat Tottenham 4-1 in their own gaff. We did have some Champions League games midweek. Manchester City safely through.
Home. Unbeaten at home still.
Unbeaten. Fantastic. Safely through to the round of 16, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Manchester United got beaten by Copenhagen, which was a very controversial, very telling match. Arsenal, I think they won their game, didn't they?
They did, yes.
They did win their game. And of course, Liverpool in the Europa League.
Hey, Newcastle lost.
Sorry, but okay. That was expected. They were away, to be fair.
They were away. Did West Ham win?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
And their new signing had a world class game, to be fair. But
And Brighton won away at Ajax.
That was nice.
Yeah. And Tottenham lost again against Wolverhampton on Saturday morning, which was quite a spectacle to watch. And of course, Chelsea just played Manchester City and beat. I was going to say beat Manchester City because it felt like a win to me. But they drew Manchester City 4-4. Last but not least, Liverpool played Brentford, which was kind of a business as usual 3-0 win to Liverpool. Now, I'll be your host at AnitaByMe_ on Instagram. And we've got...
Hi guys, Brie at BrieBlue on Instagram.
Ella at LFCLs.
Joyce SwiftyStones on X.
Team at Teams_GH on X.
Lauren at LaurenCoys on X.
I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know, because Lauren's mood right now is just giving... It's giving disappointment. It's giving sadness. I don't know if we should cheer her up and talk about the Man City match first, then bring her back down with the Tottenham and Wolves. What do you guys suggest?
Man City.
Let's go to the recent game,
yeah.
Whilst it's still fresh.
All right. Chelsea just beat. I keep needing
to. You didn't win.
You drew.
We left here with something.
For me, it feels like a win.
It was 4-4.
I'm so 4-4. Should we talk about Tottenham first? You want to talk about Tottenham first?
I don't care.
Yeah, you want to talk about Tottenham first?
I don't care. You can flip it round, but get the result. You remember that we lost, so remember that you drew.
Chelsea drew to Manchester City 4-4. I think that was probably the best match of the season so far. There was a lot of hype built up from it, but I would kind of speak for most Chelsea fans and say we weren't really expecting a result, especially considering how Chelsea have played in recent times before the Tottenham match. It was kind of something I didn't see coming anyway. But Timo, your face is looking like maybe you saw it coming.
No. I wasn't really expecting much. But the one thing I woke up thinking today was Chelsea don't play well against teams that play a high line. And City are not that team. So I thought a draw would have probably been the best result that we could have got from the game. But then I thought we would have to be perfect. And I don't even think Chelsea were perfect to get that result, but the performance was, it was good for so many different reasons.
There's so many different reasons being it's better than most of the performances you have this season in general, to be quite honest. I think so, but to be quite honest, you brought us the game, I was expecting something. Yeah. I think playing at the Bridge has always been difficult for us, even if we are waltzing it.
Even though the graphic that was like last six games versus Chelsea were all wins.
No goals conceded as well. Like, no goals conceded. They added
The thing is,
Joyce, like, let's keep it a buck here. When it was the 1-0, it's because we sat the fuck back. You
we
battered us.
Well, that's exactly. So we're waiting for a way to penetrate that defence, or at least the coach anyways. So, you know, I was expecting a bit of more difficulty, but literally you started the game, hit the ground running. I was just there like, yeah. I was like, damn, we ain't getting this ball.
Brie, what did you make of the match?
I think we started off very well. I think we're playing well until the silly penalty got awarded.
There's no way you guys disagree with this.
We're going to talk about it.
I think we played very well, and then obviously Haaland scored his first goal penalty, and I just thought, Chelsea, please don't lose the momentum. We started off well, let's get something out of this. And then obviously Haaland's goal came next again. So I'm actually incredibly proud as to how we played for the entire 100 minutes, because if this was the old Chelsea last season, we would have lost straight on. I think I saw some positives, especially going up forward, but I think there's still some cracks there, which is where we lack that quality in the final third. Obviously, we're not going to score good goals with Jackson up front, but that's another conversation. It's nice to see Broha back. I think within our midfield, Enzo had another poor game again, so I think he was better off Potch to take him off. I think Gallagher was quite good, actually. Sterling, amazing, played well from start to finish. Defensively, yeah, I mean, we conceded 4 goals, so that tells you what you need to know.
That tells a story. Timo was here last week talking about Thiago Silva better than Saliba. I was like, oof.
I thought he played well.
Oh, I forgot to say, guys, it was so difficult to watch Ruben versus Jackson, like, every time.
At times, but Diaz played like an absolute bum. Nah, he was missing his friend Pebbles. And Pebbles is made of glass at the moment as well. So,
my poor
Stones.
Yeah, Pebbles.
I was like,
Stones?
Yes.
Crying.
All right, let's talk about the first penalty. The first penalty incident with Erling Haaland and Mark Cucurella, right? Just as Joyce pointed out in a group chat, Anthony Taylor was demoted to the championship. He spent a week in a championship where he still got another penalty decision wrong.
And then after that, he got a gig playing for a Premier League game, but as VAR assistant.
Right.
He was in Champions League as well.
What kind of demotion is that if you're still working Anthony behind Taylor, in guys, the cupboards?
Anthony Taylor is considered to be one of the best referees in this country because him and Michael Oliver are the ones that the Premier League sends to go and do the European games for you.
Give me the book right now. Let me start.
But he got demoted. He made a blunder with the penalty decision with Wolves and Newcastle, a blunder with penalty decision in a championship with Preston North End. He made a blunder today with Chelsea and Manchester City. Now, does anyone actually think that Mark Cucurella's challenge on Erling Haaland was a penalty? Anyone?
I think it was very, 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 very light. But I think at the end of the day, Haaland would have gotten to the end of that. And I think
realistically,
it was Silva's job to end up defending that, and Cucurella was ending up being handsy. At the end of the day, we can talk about talk about the tussle to begin with when that ball goes in and they're fighting with each other. But Haaland lets go as soon as he's getting ready to run.
I want to understand whether you watched it in the stadium.
No, why would I? No.
Wait, let's get a neutral perspective. Ella.
I think it wasn't a penalty because if you watch the clip back, Haaland pulled Cucurella first to get to the position and then Cucurella pulled him. But I don't think Haaland would have got there. I think Thiago Silva clears it. So I don't think it was a penalty.
Joyce?
I don't know if I still stand on my position. I don't know what I say, Joyce.
I don't get it. So why do you think
I still see it as that. Like, at the end of the day, like she said, Silva would have cleared it regardless. So it's then just a really clumsy challenge in the box.
But then it's like, if that's happening anywhere else on the pitch, right, and he's pulling Cucurella first, right, and then Cucurella's just holding on to him to get him back, right?
Yeah.
Is that not a foul on Cucurella instead?
See each way. I see it as one of those things where players pull each other.
VAR didn't go far back enough because I think VAR has to apply context. There was a grab of both shirts. And then that ends up in a result of Cucurella pulling Haaland back. So you can't give a penalty for that. I mean, that's a clear and obvious error because if you go far back enough to see that there's been tussling on both sides, you just wave it on. If you're going to give penalties for those, we should have penalties every single game. It's just the reality. That happens every single corner. That action happens.
And the thing is, I'm not being funny. If we go back to Man United's archives, Harry Maguire, he owes us a lot of penalties.
Yeah,
he'd be doing that on a regular basis. Yeah. But Joyce, are you convinced?
Hey, you know what? Agenda's after agenda.
You also said that Thiago Silva wouldn't have got to the ball, right? You said that.
No, Thiago Silva would have got to that. I think it was his ball to basically clear out. So, Cucurella doing the extra little bit of hands, I understand, obviously, that's your job as a defender, but I think it was clumsy in the box. Mm. And when you talk about it, when you're looking at it in field, Haaland is the last player. So
interesting. So Tima, I'm gonna come to you. Let's talk a little bit about Nicholas Jackson.
Before we go to Nicholas Jackson, can I just talk about Anthony Taylor? The reason why and the reason why he has no hair follicles because he is an abomination of a referee. Ooh, and when I was here last season,
you can't find us. So first.
Last season, when I was calling for him to get his P45. You were sitting next to me in the old studio and everyone was laughing it up. I don't know how he's allowed to referee such a big game, considering some of the decisions that he's made against Chelsea over the years. We need to do with Liverpool, because Liverpool got that other guy, was it Paul
Tierney? I don't know.
Paul Tierney off their games. Like, Antti Saarela cannot be allowed to referee Chelsea games. They should come out and be as disgraceful as Arsenal with a statement and just say, like, we can't have him.
Come on, man. Even we can't around be the in club. This situation. every game, the club statement. We can't live like this.
No, but I hear
actually cannot live like this.
Because you have done it. Because you haven't.
Here we go.
What has Antti Saarela ever taken? How many decisions against your club has Antti Saarela ever taken?
Oh, so now it's specifically Antti Saarela, or are we talking about referees in general?
I literally was ranting about Antti Saarela.
Yeah, but
I don't care about the rest of them. Antti Saarela has
been... But the thing is, they're all crap. No. People can talk about specific referees that they don't like, but the reality is they're all rubbish. They all make mistakes. We go from game to game to game.
But Antti Saarela's literally the worst.
And I don't disagree with Lauren's point, because if they're not on the pitch, they're in that stupid box off field.
They all make mistakes. So if every club wrote about a club statement for the one referee they particularly don't like because they keep giving, we would have no refs. Genuinely.
Won't it kind of call to question to the FA to seriously take a look at the way that they're putting the refs in these games and
absolutely
take a look
not.
At the way they're being trained?
We just said the guy got demoted and he came back straight away. They don't care.
If teams continue to stand out and speak out against these referees and the decision making, doesn't that kind of...
What's the repercussion of Arsenal's statement?
The problem with what you're saying is they've already set a precedent with Liverpool. Liverpool literally got Paul Tierney taken off their games for how many...
It actually wasn't Paul Tierney, it was that other one. I can't
whoever
his name,
he is.
The one that was in VAR. Yeah,
but for how many games was he not refereeing for months?
I don't think the whole season.
He'll be back next season. They're going to do is keep apologising, and then maybe Howard Webb would disappear in a while because they keep making mistakes. Then we'll get a new one, and we're still going to be left in the same position.
So how
genuinely.
How do we combat this problem with the refereeing? Do we just sit down and just
We're not going to combat it.
Nah, get a separate VAR body. So the VAR don't feel like they're overturning their friends or protecting their friends. Mm. That's the problem. Make VAR a completely different entity.
I think
that's
a lot
solution.
Of refs could get away with a lot of stuff when we didn't have VAR. Because then you could go, okay, well, human error. This is actually going down to just a solid opinion of one person alone, or maybe just the linesman as well. Mm. When you have technology that is giving you the grace and giving you all the footage you need, and they're still not taking that into consideration, no football context whatsoever, just reading by whatever Bible they have, and on top of that Bible, they still then interpret it however they want. It's a bit harder to go, well, how do you come up with that decision? We gave you the clips, you've looked back at it, and you're still making the wrong decision.
Mm. And to be fair, if they even thought that it wasn't a clear and obvious error of Antti Saarela, they could have sent him to the flipping monitor to go and take a look at
everything.
That's
the thing, exactly. So they just went, yeah.
They only send them
VAR
to the monitor though when
you're
they
taking
want them
it,
to
went,
change
yeah,
their
I'm
minds.
Taking it. So
would you say
that? I said they only send them to the monitor when they want them to change their minds.
Yeah. But that wasn't just the only poor decision he made. Kyle Walker should have been off. He literally handled the ball outside the area.
But he's not a goalkeeper, so
exactly. VAR can't give that.
Yeah, that's a yellow card.
Most yellow card.
But I'm talking about specifically Antti Saarela. Antti Saarela isn't.
You know what? The problem is Antti Saarela has reffed too many Chelsea games where decisions that shouldn't have gone against Chelsea have gone against Chelsea. I'll take it back to the FA Cup in 2019. Was it when the goalkeeper handled the ball outside of the penalty area? But he still didn't give it to us.
And Sanchez. Is it Sanchez? Who scored their winner? Arsenal.
I can't remember. It wasn't Sanchez.
Oh,
it was
no. I'm talking about 2020.
Oh, 2020. Yeah, it wasn't Sanchez.
Who scored their winner?
I can't remember who scored their winner, but I know that was a mare of an FA Cup final, and I never want to think about it again. Mm. But we have that decision. Then we have. Was he not refereeing when Chelsea and Tottenham got together?
But
and
my point
Marco
is,
Marco Carella's hair got pulled.
When yeah,
and
but
got
when,
done about
Harry
it.
Maguire, when my point is when I started and said that Antti Saarela and Michael Oliver are seen as our two best referees, they will always get given the top mm-hmm. games. Mm. So if we have big six derbies, more than likely they're going to get those games. If we have FA Cup semi-finals, League Cup semi-finals, finals, they're going to get given those games.
I find it.
This is the reality.
I find it mad because Anthony Taylor was literally refereeing Preston North End versus Coventry last week, and now he's reffing Chelsea Man City.
In which corporate world does someone get demoted and then promoted again in the same week? In 7 days.
This is the biggest game of the weekend.
And he was even demoted fully.
That is insane.
And that's why he got given it, because it is the biggest game of the weekend.
So where was Mark Oliver?
He's no better.
They're all the same.
For real.
But this is the thing,
Chelsea,
they're all rubbish.
Mark Oliver is a better referee. For a Chelsea game, I'm not talking about refereeing overall. I'm talking specifically about Chelsea games. Anthony Taylor is an absolute abomination. P45 tomorrow morning, no excuses.
Anyways, Jackson.
Nicholas Jackson has been hot and cold for every single Chelsea fan this season. I think he started off in pre-season pretty well. You guys are laughing. What, has he just been cold for you guys?
No. I think for me, pre-season, he got me excited. I was thinking about
microwave warm, where it's like it's hot at the top, but once you cut into it, it's kind of cold.
No, I'm not going to lie. Pre-season, I was like, I might need to invest all my stocks to Jackson. I don't know. Didn't you compare him
to Drogba?
Drogba's first season at Chelsea. Do you guys remember Drogba's first season at Chelsea?
Yeah,
it was not great. It was this bad. Drogba didn't get a hat trick in his first season at Chelsea.
But look at
Drogba made the right runs though.
Yeah, but
he just doesn't have the striker intelligence, and that's
yeah. Do you know what? Fine. I'll put my hands up. He may not be Drogba-esque, but I still see the traits in him that could get him to become a world-class striker. I'm not saying he's going to get there, but he's got some traits that could get him there.
He's missing some as well.
He is missing a few.
You need to give him 10 chances to score one, and even the one he scores will be shit.
He seems like a nice guy.
After the Tottenham game, I bet one of my followers on X that Nicholas Jackson will not score, because he's convinced Nicholas Jackson's going to score 17 league goals. I bet him a Nicholas Jackson shirt that I'll have to wear for 2 years and a season of not criticising him that he's not going to bag 17
league goals. You need to stop betting about shirts.
You need to stop betting.
Exactly. You can't remember the first one.
Isn't he already on six?
Nicholas Jackson has six goals.
And Chelsea are going to buy a striker in January. He's not going to do it. 17 league goals. That means he's basically going to win the
Wait,
goal.
Just
if he stands
goal.
In the 2 yards of that box for another, what is it? Yeah. 10 more times.
50 times.
Just league goals, not overall. League in the Premier League.
Okay, league is mad, isn't it? Like, there's best strikers who still haven't gotten 17 league goals in their careers. Like, that is madness. But I think these last two games have shown that he can score goals, right?
I mean, I don't know if you can use the last two as a good merit. One was against nine men.
If you dare in the goal and someone pass you the ball like that, you would score.
Give him
Come
some
on, man.
And there can't be an object in front of him.
Thank you.
It was the most shameless hat-trick I've ever seen.
Did you celebrate? Okay, then.
Not the third goal. Not the third goal. I was like, nah,
relax.
Pass it to Madrid, man. That's a bit
much, man. I'll be serious, right? Did you celebrate?
I wasn't watching the game.
Nah, man, no. You guys are violating.
I celebrate his first two.
Okay, Jackson, he's got 4 goals in 2 games now.
Good for him.
You know what? I'm happy for him.
No, literally.
You can see that he's built his confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, the social awareness is still not there, but...
No, it's not.
He's still...
Do you know what it is?
The goals are there. They're coming.
He likes to scrap a lot, and he's a very scruffy striker as well. He's very clumsy.
He is quite clumsy.
And every time he was 1v1, he's not... He can't
fight for his life.
That's the thing. You've got a striker that will not strike fear into the centre half and will not strike fear into the goalkeeper going 1v1.
That's why it was so painful to watch him.
But he did strike fear into Van der Ven's hamstring.
Oh my god, Timo, that's disgusting. That's something that Faye would say. That's beneath you. That's
wow!
Come to you, man. That's beneath you, man.
That's nasty.
Funny because we were arguing about this the other day about pace and power. He said Jason Jackson got none.
That was me.
That's nasty, man.
That was very me.
I'm just saying. Just putting it out there.
Get well soon.
Get well soon, Vanda.
I'm celebrating.
I ain't even
going
to lie.
I'm just pointing it out.
We'll come to
it. If you're joking about it, you're celebrating it. For the people that are not watching the visual, she's pushing the microphone away so she can laugh harder.
What's wrong?
Relax. Like, you're laughing at his hamstring. Of course, I'm upset. You're laughing at Bassett Abak's hamstring. Do you think that's normal?
Eric Dyer is the reason why.
That Eric Dyer told me it was going to hit like crack at the end of the season.
Anyway, we'll come to talk.
Anyway,
I feel like Lauren is about 30 seconds away from dashing people.
Lauren's going to walk out of here. She's going to cut the cameras for real.
Is that why you needed a paddle to hit one of them?
I just wanted something to separate us.
Back to Man City, Chelsea. All right, we'll move on from Jackson. I don't think I'm going to convince you guys that Jackson.
I'm happy for him.
You're happy for him. At least you're happy for him. Happy for him?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be. He's still your front runner until January comes round. So.
I don't even think January. I think once Nkunku comes back from international break, we put in that false nine position and we rotate like that.
And Broya's back.
Broya's back. So he even got us the penalty in the dying minutes. But let's talk a little bit about Manchester City. And let's talk a little bit about the way you guys played. So Rodri came out at the end of the match and he said that he didn't think that the City players were themselves today, their normal selves today.
Yeah, I agree. Can you tell
me what City's normal selves look like, especially this season? Because I don't
a partnership
think I've
seen with it. Stones and Diaz, and even that you guys haven't seen it really this season because that man's always injured, which is so horrible. Because I want to shout, I want to give him the shout so best centre back when people are talking about Salibas and stuff like that. Like I want to be talking about how great John Stones is, and then you know he does his hammy every other day, and just it's annoying, but. When we had the press, I think Pep had the pre-game press conference about Gvardiol playing in Stones' role, and he said, I don't think he's quite ready to sit like assimilate the kind of character that Stones has on the pitch. And the reality is, it's true. I mean, Gvardiol should have done better. It's things that happen. But I don't expect this kind of defence to play up. And then I can't lie, Kanji has been quite a weak link. I think he's been a weak link for us for quite a bit. He did score, but and what? Your goal isn't to score.
Your primary job is to defend. If you're a defender,
congratulations, you got your
Trent.
Goal.
I'm sorry.
I can't lie, no.
What's Trent right. got to do with
this? I'm just saying, that's where we're just running it. Your primary job as a defender is to defend.
I'm happy, congrats. You got the goal. We needed the goal. But at the same time, the defence has been lacking. That's why we end up having four past us.
So my thing is, yeah, Rodri's come out and he said that City weren't themselves today. John Stones and who's the partner again?
Kevin Diaz.
Stones and Diaz, you said they haven't really played together this season. Kevin De Bruyne has been out.
Yeah.
Rodri's gone and come back.
Yeah.
Again, it's like
just a lot of inconsistency. There's no proper stability back at defence. But normally we're able to sort of kind of pick and mix the defence in a way which makes sense, but we had a Kanji playing Stones' role today, and I just thought, what the hell is going on, man? Just let him be an actual defender, not do the whole midfielding business. And
Diaz was so rash today.
He was really clumsy, day one kind of defending. I just thought, okay, well, I can understand it being rash as well, because you're thinking, okay, well, I need to hold on to this, but you need to have level heads when you're thinking, okay, we're 4-3 up sort of thing. Let's just kind of hold it together. And it just wasn't there.
So were there any positives for you to take from this match today? Because I feel like Man City conceding 4 is pretty much unheard of. You don't really see that often.
Oh, yeah. We left with a point. We left with a point.
So if there's no positives, do you have anything to like say about Chelsea then? Because
you guys brought it to us. In all honesty, I think when we came into that game, I can't imagine the boys or whatever they were practicing in training during the week, not thinking that, oh, like, Chelsea are going to be a bit, you know, meh at the moment. Because obviously you guys had a good game against nine men, so we don't actually have a good full picture of what does it mean to be a great Chelsea side at this moment in time playing under Poch. You guys showed us that today. In all honesty, it's probably one of the best bits of football you guys have played this season.
And that's why I keep saying, like, I see the vision with Pochettino now. Like, I really
I'm not sure if I see the vision. I don't
Poch,
know if
Poch
I see
Poch has beaten Pep when he was at Espanyol. He's beaten Pep when he's been at Spurs. He's been, he's
He knows how to play against a Pep team.
Pepsi.
A pep team. Other brands are available. I said pep team.
My bad.
How did it feel
for Palmer to score that penalty again?
I was... No, look.
Oh, you get the new
Clarks medal. You know, this is awful because I saw a comp last week and it was like... And it was the clip of Palmer saying, Prem soon come, when he scored against Swindon 2 years ago, I think. I thought, damn, man, we let him go.
Yeah, Pep, that's a big mistake. That's one of Pep's biggest mistakes. I don't know who advised him to leave.
Bernardo
Silva's been trying to leave for 3 years. But, he's still there.
But did you not hear when it's like, it's either Doku or Palmer?
At the end of the day, I mean, Palmer made it very clear that if someone else comes in, I'm going to have to go because I don't see myself. So fair enough, and he's doing really well for you, but... I can't lie, in my head I thought the script, he stacks on that penalty and he skies it. The script didn't want to work.
Following his miss, when he was throwing on goal, if he had skied that penalty, I would have thought something's going on here. I would have thought, be bloody for real.
He would have been that meme going back into the dressing room like this.
Legit. I'm happy that he scored. And to be fair, he did have a decent game. Obviously, man of the match for Chelsea was probably Raheem Sterling. Even though Cole Palmer got the man of the match.
I thought that was brave. That's even worse. They knocked on our head twice. Recency bias, man, because of the penalty. Raheem made Walker look ordinary as well. Because we're talking about the defenders. Kyle Walker was struggling.
The only time Kyle Walker found joy was when he was up against Jackson.
Did you see how Jackson tried to move the ball past him?
I said, you're going to try and do foot race with Kyle Walker.
This is a man that's what you can tell the intelligence is lacking.
Because look at the player you're going 1v1 with.
I think what I liked about Pep and Poch is I've never seen someone go toe to toe.
Exactly.
Literally, okay. Do you know how crazy that is? This Chelsea team that was losing to Brentford.
I'm so sorry. Tuchel went toe to toe with Pep several times.
And Poch, you haven't watched enough Poch games. He's done that before against Pep teams.
With this Chelsea team, it's different. But he's done it with worse teams.
Where the gap between Pep's Barcelona when he was at Espanyol and Pep City when he was with us. He's like, I don't think he will always take the game. Like that's when he will always try to do that. So I don't think it was a unique thing.
No, it's not for me. It's not even that. It's more so because of how we played against Brentford, and then you come and go head to head with City. Is that the same squad that's losing all of these lower games?
They're starting to understand the system.
But isn't it also the fact that Chelsea don't know how to break down low blocks as it stands?
That's also an issue. That.
Champions of England soon come. Soon come. I'm not giving a year.
The timeline that you gave in the group chat and before we started recording.
I said Champions of England.
Not only England because Europe you still have to fight for top four. Where are you guys? So you still guys like 3 points off of Everton, or is that has that changed?
I'm just asking.
Hey, shout out Marvel if you're listening.
Do you know what I'll give Chelsea? They learned from that.
She can laugh it up, but like.
Hey, we won our trophy now, champions of Europe.
Can you imagine this one time champion piping up? We got six and two times.
We got us now. I left you with something.
Anyway, Ella.
I was going to say, do you know what I'll give Chelsea? They learned from that Arsenal game where after they had that period of like dominance and they were leading and something and then Declan Rice scored and they kind of lost it a bit. Chelsea today always stayed in the game. And that's something that's a real positive for them. So they're learning their learning. Like when City got that silly penalty, straight away 1-1, 2-1. I know they conceded after, but they always stayed in the game. Mm. And that's what's important, to be
Sanchez
honest.
Decided to do his job today as well.
He was actually
a proper commander in the box for once.
He decided to do his job today.
Come on.
He was... Okay.
Okay.
We'll take that. The Haaland shot was a good save.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great save.
Very.
It was a good
But he also did a madness where Haaland almost scored because he could, anyway. But I'm going to say he had a good game.
He conceded as many goals as the best goalkeeper in the league. Not my thoughts, but I'm just saying.
Who's the best goalkeeper in the league?
Allison is.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Allison.
That's undisputed.
Allison
or Edison?
I thought you said Edison.
Allison's
been undisputed for how many years?
I'm just saying opinions here. I think it's Allison. I'm just saying opinions.
I thought I heard Edison.
I've seen Edison being called the best goalkeyer because of his distribution. Distribution.
Oh, yeah, distribution
shot
makes
saving.
You
your primary job is to save the shots.
Yeah,
your primary job is to save the goals. Then you can do distribution.
Up until our number two started making him like shaking his boots, and that was like mid Champions League campaign. That man became a really good shot stopper. Before that, I used to shit my pants.
Hey, listen, I'm just saying what the street's saying. My bad. I thought that was common knowledge that people thought Edison was the best in the league. Oops.
I don't know about that.
My bad. But let's talk a little bit about Jeremy Doku and how he's taken Jack Grealish's spot in that starting 11, especially today. Doku, talk to me about him.
I've already said my piece. Every other week I've said, Jack Grealish, your time, man. TikTok. At the same time, there's obviously something that Grealish gives the side, defensively speaking, on the wing. And then you think, okay, well, what Doku provides is what a traditional winger, whatever every other team would want on the wing.
He challenges, he dribbles. Job, isn't it? They're secondary and tertiary and whatever the fourth one is.
Whereas Grealish will do the tracking back and he'll be the extra defender if he has to be, and then he'll run in the middle. And whenever he does run in the middle, it's something different. It's something I do want to see more of. But he plays under whatever Pep tells him to do. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of dulled his shine, the shine that we saw when he was playing at Aston Villa.
So then, why is
they
Doku?
I actually think they should have swept them round. Because Doku got no change out of Reece James. And if Doku had... If he started Grealish and then brought Doku on to play against Malagusto, he would have been far more
agree
effective.
Because when we played at the Bridge last season, what I considered a super sub when Grealish came on and then provided that chance and the goal that happened, it was a proper, an instant reaction. You could see the difference that he made playing on that wing at the start, and I think we should have started that way and then given Doku the freedom to then start, you know, running at the wing.
But do you reckon that Doku, obviously we didn't know that Reece James would come off of Marlo Gusto anyway, but would it not have been the same story if Grealish had started against Reece James? I think Reece James was on it today.
Oh, 100%. I didn't actually expect him to play the game that he did because I thought he was still kind of having...
Still suffering a little bit.
I thought, he was still having teething issues.
Grealish's defensive work would have been better.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So it wouldn't have been too much of an issue between them going toe-to-toe, to be quite honest. But
I'm probably asking that bare question that you probably don't know the answer to, but... Why is Grealish's work more defensive and Doku's work more attacking? Because
Doku's just naturally... That's what I've seen his interview where he was just there. Like, even in his dreams, he'll be dreaming about dribbling past the next man. It's all he loves doing. So I think it just makes sense for him to play more offensively and just go out on the attack. Whereas I think... Grealish's control on the ball on the wing is much better, and when he does get challenged on the wing, they're in like very, very crucial positions where we can actually capitalize off of that and get into the box a lot better. So I think that's just the way it goes, and it's been basically what's been trained into him
This
is probably what Pep is now just telling Grealish to do. So when people get fed up when Grealish gets the ball on the wing and you're like, oh yeah, go pass your man, and he goes back, he passes back and whatever, we're all pissed off in the stands, and rightfully so, because you're there like, we want something different.
But what do you make of Pep's comment before the game where he said that he woke up that day and thought, I'm going to start?
He's a liar. I don't believe it.
You're knowing your lineup before the
actress.
liar. Come on, man.
No, he just saying shit to say shit.
You know
shit,
we would have prepared.
he like, I know that man is bold and he'll make like really rash decisions and put up a lineup that doesn't make sense half the time. But I can't properly, in my heart of hearts, think he woke up that morning and thought, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm just changing this last minute. No. No way.
They've trained
something completely. This is what they thought was going to happen. And then you guys brought us a game completely different to probably whatever you thought we were dreaming of. So
Did you say he said he's bored, he's made flex
decisions? I don't disagree.
Sounds a little bit
like Ten Hag.
No, I was
going to
say sounds a little bit like Anthony Taylor.
Oh my God.
Some free times for the Anthony Taylor hates today.
Tima's not trying.
Too many eggheads in this game, man.
Step off him a little bit, sis, okay?
Huh? After he dropped a stinker? No.
I think he's had worse howlers than today. And to be quite honest, I think
the whole game was
the VAR decisions are what brings the box office, unfortunately. It's really, really shit to say that because I don't think football games should be this theatrical as it is. But it is what's bringing him back.
Only
the
if you're watching from telly. If you're in the stadium, it's awful.
It's awful. 100%. 100% agree. You're sitting there in the crowd, like the stands, thinking, "What the fuck is going on? What are they thinking?" You know, you're celebrating, and then you're not.
Oh, but
But in general, it's what's bringing back these really weird glimpses of Barclays football that we used to love and whatever. So, like, I don't know.
I feel like the game of Man City and Chelsea was proper Barclays. You know, back in the day, when it'll be like Liverpool, Chelsea 4-4, Man United, Arsenal.
You don't get those crazy scorelines.
The Super Sunday was super.
Exactly. Now they put Bournemouth on the telly and you're supposed to sit down and watch. Sorry.
It's true.
West Ham, who did they play today?
Nottingham Forest. It was a good game.
West Ham, Nottingham Forest. That was a good game.
Yeah, they got the Sunday was super today.
Suchek, last minute goal. I'm just like,
why did Alanga taking off his shirt?
Letting Lango cook. I thought today was proper Barclays. It reminded me of just back in the day when I used to love football. And I'm so happy that Chelsea didn't come and sit back because every single team just seems to want to sit back against Manchester City. Mm. And it's if there's a time to go at Manchester City,
it's just before internationals. Now. Yeah. It's just before internationals. You could never find a worse club than City's form just before international break. It is so shit. And we literally...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Lost to Arsenal just before the international break. This is all happened in the same year. It's bad. The Brentford loss.
Yeah. That's what I'm
saying. Remember, man, cancel the international football. Where's me? Thank God for the break.
But that's also bad on your behalf, though, because you're now picking up some sort of steam. And now you've got a break.
That happens to us all the time.
Yeah.
Same way you guys always stick before international break. We always cook before international break.
And then we come back, we lose. Crumble and then get into the momentum again. There's another break.
Like, we can't take this heartache anymore. It's enough. Like, it's actually enough. But cool. Let's park it on Manchester City, Chelsea, unless anyone else has anything else to say.
What's Chelsea next game?
Sorry. Brighton.
Well, Newcastle. Oh, it's Newcastle. Ooh.
Is it not Brighton?
I think it's Newcastle. Then Brighton.
I also wanted to...
You know, Deserby hasn't won a league game in 2 months.
Yeah,
so.
It's been difficult.
It's not the same Brighton. And Newcastle are deep in injury. Away. No, but they're deep in it. Yeah, their injury crisis. Yeah, their injuries are crazy.
Do you see Kieran Trippier like fighting Newcastle fans?
Yeah.
They were saying to him, you're not giving enough. He's like, how many injuries do you guys like? How many injuries do we have? But for me, if I'm one of his teammates who's coming in, I'm like, oh, so you don't rate me like that.
No, but I was listening to the commentary like in the car, and they were like, oh, this player for Newcastle's coming on. This is the first time he's played for the club. Like, they're having to bring academy players.
They've got
off
injury crises, they've got betting crises. It's difficult. Oh, it's tough out here.
Let me read out their list. Obviously, suspended betting, Sandro Tonali. They've got Jacob Murphy with a shoulder injury. His potential return is the 30th of January.
Oh. It's because he dislocated it and then he played the next game and then he did
ridiculous.
It again.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Silly. They've got Dan Burnout with a back injury.
Not Dan Burn.
Dan Burn. Ages,
And it's mad because you know they gave him paracetamol or something in the Champions League game. And then it's like he slipped a disc or something in the back mashup.
Back mashup. And he's ruled out until at least 13th of January. Harvey Barnes, he's out, and he's coming back at the beginning of January, which isn't so bad. Elliot Anderson, lower back injuries. Ben Botman, knee injury.
When's Botman back?
December the 10th.
Okay, good.
That's not bad. Oh, what are you saying after? Bruno Guimarães, he's just suspended.
He'll be back.
Callum Wilson, thigh injury.
He's always injured.
Which is a shame.
His customary muscle injury.
Because when he's playing, he's good. He's great.
To be fair, Callum Wilson and Bruno and Isak are expected back on the 25th of November.
Until so their next injury.
They've got Manquillo out. They've got Target out.
Manquillo,
well.
The state of place for who?
Manquillo, he's still there.
He's still at Newcastle.
Where do you think he went?
In 2023.
They haven't had that many transfer windows.
I was thinking like...
Did he not play for you guys?
He did.
Hi!
Honestly. Years ago, Brendan years, yeah.
Mm. Oh, Brendan.
How long has he been out for?
I feel like even if he was
he only gives me so much info.
He was probably not playing even if he was fit.
Did he play last season?
I don't know, actually.
Because I don't remember seeing or hearing from him last season.
No, I think he's just a squad player.
Yeah, they're probably just waiting for the contract to expire. Mm. No one wants to buy him, clearly. He's still there.
Clearly.
But lastly, what's your thoughts on Enzo?
Ooh.
And what he does, what he gives to this team? Because he's still, that Argentinian that I saw in the World Cup beforehand.
He didn't give anything today.
I think I actually...
He hasn't been giving.
He didn't.
I don't know if I completely agree with you or your assessment with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was good in the first half, not so good in the second half.
He was missing.
Overall, since you guys have bought him, is he given, obviously he's not given the impact that someone would expect of him, but what are you expecting of him, realistically, since you guys bought him?
Would you like, as in,
just I don't know, like impact towards the team? Is there any other contributions you'd expect from him? What was your first opinions when they first bought him? What did you think was the assessment that the board probably had?
If you talk to me about the board, you know what I'm saying. You've given me a way in. I thought they overpaid for him. I thought if you need your boss to fly out to Portugal to close the deal. And then you end up paying more money than you intended to do.
They punched him.
I think him and Casado need to build a partnership. That's what I think.
Mm.
And I think we need to give them time to be able to build that. You can see that there is the foundations there, but obviously Enzo hasn't had a great. He's had a very up and down season, and until he is like really bossing the midfield, and really imposing himself on games, it's going to be really difficult to kind of justify his £100 million transfer fee. But I believe that by the end of the season, that partnership is going to be really, really strong.
I also feel like with the way Enzo plays, I'm not saying it's similar to the way Jorginho plays, but he's the type of person that likes to dictate play. He has a vision and he likes to
pursue that vision on the pitch. And it's going to take time for him to get used to the kind of pace of the Premier League. You can't think in the Premier League. Everything has to be second nature to you. And currently, I just feel like sometimes he does take a bit too long on the ball. It does take a bit too long to make his decisions. And when it comes to the interceptions, he's always second to those, which is really worrying at this point in time. But like you said, I think he does need to build a partnership with Caicedo. And then we've also got Lavia coming back in whenever he comes back in. Oh, God be the glory, but he's back in training, so maybe that could piece it all together when he does come back in as well. We don't know yet, but I still think there is so much potential with Enzo. Let's think about when he came in January, that 5 month stint, he was pretty good, and we've seen what he can do.
Yeah, when the bar's in hell,
team wasn't good.
True. Like, he looked very, very good because your team was very, very bad.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, that's what I think of Enzo Fernandez. Obviously, Brie.
I feel like
that sign was deep.
I think giving him until the end of the season is a bit of a long period considering he joined in Jan. But I'll give him grace because, like Lauren just said, he was playing in a quite terrible team. And obviously over the summer, there have been so many transitions, so many new players. So it's about building that connection, like you said, with Caicedo. So maybe I might be impatient and give him a bit more time. But I definitely would like to see him contribute more towards like goals and stuff. So, yeah.
If Lavia comes back, are you saying Conor Gallagher should hit the bench?
I'm saying if Lavia comes back, we paid money for a reason, innit? We went toe-to-toe with Liverpool for a reason. Lavia has to start when he's fully fit. He has to.
I think he has to be eased in.
He
has to be eased in. Yeah. No. He has to be eased in. I feel like Connor, for the amount of money...
Hit the bench?
Huh?
But he's not going to.
He's not going to hit the bench. Mm. It's just, this is just me. I feel like for the amount of money that we've paid for him, firstly. Secondly, the hype for when he was coming in as well. And then the whole toe-to-toe with Liverpool. Liverpool going to get Lavia.
That man... I lost almost 50 quid. He should have just stayed at Southampton.
Crying. But like, there were just so many different things around Lavia coming in, and he's meant to be this person in the midfield that brings everything together, and everything's meant to happen because he comes into that midfield. I really just want to see him start straight away and just come back into the team as soon as. Because if he is meant to be our saving grace, what's the point in easing him in?
To be fair, I'm sure he's itching to start as well. Watching this game and thinking, I could do something.
There's definitely a space for him there. Definitely. And even Caicedo, there's a conversation to have about Caicedo, but I'm not going to have that conversation.
Why not?
Right now.
Why?
I think there's time.
How much was he again? 115?
115.
115.
Huh?
I thought he was good today.
Which one? Moses, Caicedo.
She don't have an opinion. I feel like the commentator said it best. Chelsea should have won that midfield battle, clearly. And I think we didn't quite... win.
That's interesting.
That midfield battle.
Again, I would probably disagree with that, but
which is fair. But do you know who we did win the midfield battle against?
We had no midfield. We had no.
Kane, but that was self-destruction.
But doesn't change the point that we had no midfield.
We had a midfield.
You can do. Yeah, and then we could get and when we had 11 on the pitch. You lot were turning off the television.
That's actually not true, because actually...
I said in the chat, I wanted to turn off the TV.
I think this is the misconception that when it was 11 versus 11, that we weren't... We played well after we conceded.
For the first 15 minutes, we'll get a doggy team.
Thank
you. But then after that, they still had 11 men up at that point.
Thank
after
you.
When was the Son offside goal? When was that?
About the 16th minute.
Okay, after that, Chelsea
picked it up. Yeah, we lost that. We started to play the occasion.
Yeah.
And yeah, Romero lost his head.
What we say, we go into the Tottenham match now. Should we give Chelsea a little break and go on to Liverpool? What are you guys feeling? Come on.
I think we should go straight to Tottenham.
I can feel like...
I'm not angry.
Tell your face that you're not angry.
I'm just tired, man. I'm thinking about my team. I'm thinking about the injuries and the suspensions.
John, talk to us about your injuries. So, James Maddison, Van de Ven, obviously Romero's out with the red card, which was rightfully so. What's the trajectory for Tottenham now that these injuries are out? Because I know you've always said, like, you're not in a title race because of these injuries. You've lost two games on the bounce with these injuries. So,
Yeah, the trajectory is downwards.
I was going to say, what is supposed to be the trajectory?
Yeah, like,
we were here 2 weeks ago saying the wheels are going to fall off if there's injuries. Yeah, now the injuries are there, the wheels are off.
The wheels are off. Like,
leave it at the bus garage.
I can't hear her say it.
No, but the thing is, we're now back. Apart from, so the team that started against Wolves.
Did
apart
you say
from,
you're now back?
If you let me finish my sentence. The team that started against Wolves, apart from Brennan Johnson and Vicario, we are now back to the team that finished eighth. And that was with 30 league goals from Harry Kane. So that's just the reality of what's happened. With the suspensions, with the injury, we are now back. We had Emerson Royal, who's a right back, playing left back. We had Ben Davies, who's a full back, playing centre half. We had Eric Dier back, playing centre half, and there's a reason until Monday why he had not touched the pitch, not even in the League Cup match. We're just now back to a team that finished eighth for a reason, and we don't have the squad. We haven't had the squad. I've said it time and time and time again. The squad is paper thin. We made the signings that we made in Van de Ven and Maddison to try and elevate us. We started far better than anyone thought we did, and now they're injured. So now we're back to the same team. And I can't sit here after four or five different managers waiting for Eric Dier and Ben Davies and some of the players in our squad that I think need to be moved on to suddenly start playing above their ceiling. They hit their ceiling a long, long time ago. And at this point, it just is what it is. Like, it just... But we have, we've got no depth, man. If you look at left wing, Perisic, ACL, Richarlison just had surgery. Solomon is injured. We literally have Brennan Johnson, the only one, and Brian Hill, who came on yesterday for the first time because he'd been injured since pre-season. Like, we've either got we've got just about enough in terms of to get them on the pitch. Half the bench is the academy. The senior players are coming back from ACL or long-term injuries. So we are where we are. Like, I can't. It is what it is. We have to ride this out until we get to January. Until they come back or we buy new players. Like, I don't know. It's not anger, it's tears. It's just the reality of what's happening.
It's like the pain in your voice.
Yeah, like, it's painful. Of course it's painful because it's kind of like, we had an injection of hope and belief. And to be honest, I don't think that's gone. Like, I'm not sat here like, I saw the blueprint under Ange. Mm. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I want my manager gone or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
it's just the reality of the squad that we have is there for everybody to see because now the fringe players are having to play.
Do you know what I find really interesting, right? I think some of the commentators were talking about this earlier on in the week. They were talking about how Tottenham fans, even though they've lost back-to-back, they are still not as angry as they would have been if it was a Mourinho team, for example. So they appreciate how high of a line Ange puts out because you guys are playing good football, you're playing attacking football, you're not afraid to kind of go at it, even if you're nine men down. And even if you lose 4-1, nine men down, but you're still playing a high line, you're still attacking, because it's still decent enough football, you won't be as annoyed as you would have been with Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, like that, when the fourth goal went in, I was at the game, everybody got up on their feet and they clapped and they started singing because it was a show to say. If you let me finish, it was to say, okay, cool, we understand that we're still here with the team. That wouldn't have happened last season. People would have been down Park Lane, White Hart Lane, they would have been on their trains. Like, the mood is different. The belief is there in the football that we were trying to play.
Can I just highlight? I didn't actually mean to laugh. I agree with you in that. That's a good way to go. It was Tima that made me laugh. I'm sorry.
That's the most Tottenham thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Okay, cool. I don't care.
Lauren, I have a question though about Ange and his high line. Do you think it was a bit silly though with nine men playing a high line?
I thought this was like
knowing that Chelsea struggle to break teams down, you probably could have got a point.
We don't have a manager that will ever play for a point. He will play to win. And that's the reality. Like, he's not going to change his principles. He's committed to those principles. And honestly, do I think he should change his whole coaching philosophy for Ben Davies and Eric Dier? No.
But not even changing your philosophy, just being able to adapt in a match. Like, nine men, you just have to...
But the thing is, we've seen teams go down to 9 and 10 this season and go and play low block and still lose the game. yes, okay, we lost the game 4-1, but you did it. But this idea that we would have gone down to a low block, the back line that we had Højbjerg in the back line. We had Emerson came on at centre half, then had to go back to fullback. Like, it was just, it wasn't as if we were we had our first choice back line, and then you think, oh, okay, solid. These people have been playing low block under Conte, under Mourinho, under Nuno, and we've been shit. I don't think it would have necessarily been, oh, if we'd gone to low block, Chelsea wouldn't have broken us down. Mm. We've lost to Chelsea how many times playing that low block system?
But I think I don't even think it's about the Chelsea game for me. Mm. I think when you have a manager that tactically stubborn, even if you had all your, say you had your full team and whatever, I think you're going to run into trouble because you have to be tactically flexible to be able to be one of the top teams in the league. You have to be able to adapt to play different ways. And so my thing wasn't that it was nine men and, you know, his philosophy. I felt the praise was overboard anyway. But I wouldn't say concern because I don't care about Tottenham. But if I was a Tottenham fan going forward, it would be that you need to be tactically flexible a little bit, depending on who your opposition is and depending on what type of game you're going into. So for example, if you're going to be in a cup final and say that you're 1-0 up and you're playing City, have that high line, I think it's just a bit, it just wouldn't be something that I think you should be going into just doing that, if that makes sense.
No, it's like the Champions League final when we played Tottenham. After that goal, sat back. That was it, game done.
No response. But Ange wasn't a manager in that Champions League.
I'm just giving an example.
Yeah, but like, we played 10 games with a starting 11 where we could play that high line. The problem is that, like I said, the personnel that we have left to play in defence, it doesn't matter if you put them in a low block, you put them in a high line, they're going to concede goals.
But the thing is, shouldn't you expect your manager to play to, even if your players are not good, play to your players' strengths?
So yesterday, we were playing against Wolves. We were playing the high line. And as we before we start recording, I told you, Eric Dier and Ben Davies, their natural instinct is to drop deep, back off. Mm. We conceded God knows how many chances. Mm. And then eventually, we were so deep, we lost the game in added time. We ran out of legs and we were so deep. It was the deepest that our team has been. So it wasn't even the fact that Andrew told them to go back. Naturally, their instinct told them that we need to drop deep and protect this lead, and we still lost.
Yeah, but let's assume that that wasn't coached, right? That for them dropping deep. If he had coached a team to drop deeper,
that's not his philosophy.
Yeah, but it's also, he doesn't have the players for his philosophy.
But I think I can only back Lauren on this, and I think we did touch on this before in terms of how players play on the pitch. You can only do so much coaching. What those players choose to do then when that 90 minutes start, that's it.
That's what
so
they
if they're
do.
Used they're, to playing
you
that
could
way.
See it. Like watching the game, you could see it. On. Back off. There's absolutely no. Ange was berating them during the first half, saying, keep pushing on.
But my point is, you know your players, if they're used to backing off, and obviously maybe Ange hasn't seen that in the training, maybe he hasn't seen that, right? But if you see your players are used to backing off, if you coach something that aligns with that philosophy and kind of like tweak your philosophy just a little bit because you know you don't have the players. And this is the problem that I had with Tuchel, because Tuchel at one point, he just did not change his philosophy to suit his players. And then Chelsea just came crumbling down. I remember when Chelsea played West Brom and we went down to 10 or 9 men and we lost that game 5-2 because Tuchel did not know how to switch his philosophy and kind of sit back where he needed to. Mm. And obviously he learned from that. And Chelsea started sitting back a lot more in games where they needed to. So I'm just saying, like, would you
but
not prefer
my,
that?
My point still is, we just had 3 managers in a row. All we did was sit back and play on the counter. And the team still finished 8th with 30 league goals from Harry Kane. So, like
basically,
my point
you'd
is,
rather
yeah.
Lose trying. Than
yeah,
lose
at least I now know. Like, I lost my connection to the team. I refused to go and watch them after the AC Milan last season. I felt like the players weren't playing for the shirt. I still know now that if when I go watch the team play, or if I'm watching on TV, the players on the pitch are going to try and win the game. We may not win the game, because when I look at the spine of our team currently with the players available, the spine just isn't good enough. But now I know that they will try to win the game. They will play for the shirt. They will run until they have no energy. That the personnel that we have available is just not enough. But that's the reality. But to think, oh, let's just sit and pray we don't concede. Mm. We've been doing that for 3 seasons and we've still been conceding goals.
Brie, let's bring you in here for a sec. Mm-hmm. So with what Lauren's just mentioned about, you know, her team at least playing for the badge and trying to play, etc., etc., mm-hmm. is that kind of a philosophy that you would take at Chelsea?
That her team's playing for the badge? In what sense?
They will try to win the game. They will try to win the game.
But that's including like playing a high line. If you have to play a high line, if you have to lose 4-1, at least you're still
Nobody
trying.
Was talking about the high line until Eric Dier and Ben Davies came back into the team. No one was talking about the high line.
Do you know why that philosophy wouldn't ramp at Chelsea?
Go on.
Because let me take you back to when Conte first came as manager, right?
He came
and played.
keep cooking.
He came and played the way that Chelsea normally play. I think it's 4-2-3-1. And then we got battered. I remember we got battered by Arsenal. Liverpool. We got battered by Arsenal. Arsenal half time, he was like, enough of this.
enough.
and then he went to a back three. And then when he switched to a back three, that's when obviously Chelsea went on to win the title. But that's what I'm talking about, that tactical flexibility is recognising, okay, you can have it your way. Enough. I'm gonna switch it round to play my philosophy in a way that I think is gonna win. So I don't think Chelsea fans would ever accept that. Just try to win or try to play a certain.
We
way.
Are not the same fan base.
No,
I think that's okay. Like we have different expectations of our team. We have different things because our clubs have different identities.
So in your opinion, and I'm not even trying to take the piss, like this is a genuine question, but in your opinion, is this kind of philosophy a philosophy that makes you win? Because Tottenham wants to win. They want to win trophies. Is this a philosophy that's sustainable for that?
In the 10 games that we played with the players that we were able to bring in the summer to fit that system, we were top of the league.
You ain't got that system. You ain't got the
players. Yeah, I know. But we were
so
never...
So do you give up on trying to win trophies because you haven't got that those players anymore?
But I've said that we're going to need multiple transfer windows. Nobody, not even Pep or Klopp, came in and did anything in their first season.
Conte did.
That was a much better Chelsea squad than the team that we were able to put out yesterday. That's just the reality.
I was about to say that, and we weren't in Europe either. We just had the Prem.
We were basically in your
and
situation.
If you took Hazard out of the team, would you have won the league?
But I just think that you
answer the question. No, come on. But would you have won that league
2 weeks ago?
I think
you actually did.
Yeah.
I think you just got to. I think the way that I see it, I think Ange has done a good job so far.
Yes.
But I do think he still needs to be tactically flexible, and I stand by that.
I will take a look at and correct me if I'm wrong.
He has shown with his strongest team, like bringing on Højbjerg in the second half, so we actually become a bit more conservative. We keep the ball. We have done that in games and seen games out.
I'll use Man City as an example, right? Pep comes in, he started playing attacking football, Pep kind of ball, and he said, "Nah, this ain't working, y'all." And then he had to change everything, his whole philosophy.
He went and bought the players.
We had injuries on that, and then we had the whole season where we had players playing false nines and false tens that didn't even belong in that position. But when you have enough time, which realistically is what you need, to train a player to play out of their typical position, it's a lot easier, which I get. But also, we did have to change tactics. It wasn't Pep football 100% in the way that first season.
You brought in the correct players to enable Pep to play.
And
the
even then, when we did get those players, they still had teething issues.
About in this season, would you not rather see your manager change things up
because he doesn't have the players like Pep.
I prefer a good adjustment season and then adjusting into
you guys are not here. So you're change things up in what way? To play a deeper line and to be more conservative? So what changes would you like to see to the Spurs
team? I don't mind you guys play like this.
Would you like your manager to be more flexible with his approach of the players that he has available? Because if he's not going to be flexible...
What type of flexibility... are you asking for? That's what I'm just.
So is it realistic of him to still expect the same style of play with the current squad he has?
No, it's not realistic.
What
is the alternative
to be tactically
make it work with what he's got? Change the system to
tell me which tactics. Tell me which tactics that he should then switch to.
Do you know what? We ain't got a UEFA B license.
This is not my job description.
The thing is,
Tottenham aren't the only team that play a high line. Mm. There are better teams than Tottenham who play a high line. So when you come up against them, do you still want to play that philosophy knowing that they're a better opposition? Do you get what I mean?
Yes, we have to stick to our philosophy and build a squad and buy better players capable of sticking to the philosophy.
Understand the bondage though, because once you've seen good, you're happy with attaining that standard just for the time being until you get better players, which is, I can understand.
That was always the plan.
Yeah, I know. Like you said, I think it just comes down to the standards that are kept at different clubs, and that doesn't mean got a shit standard. I think it just means that different clubs want different things for themselves. So if you want players that play for the badge, that's absolutely fine. That play for what the manager wants, that's absolutely fine.
Conte last season in that press conference
was saying these people don't look like they want anything. These people, I can understand why they don't get top four. They don't have any winning mentality. It's nice to see your club then now play for the shirt, which is different, but people have different milestones at different times.
Up until the point that we lost the key players and the spine, the philosophy that we were playing was working. I have seen some of the Spurs players that we have, players that should have been moved on a long time ago that are still here, I have seen them play different styles of football and their ceiling still exists in terms of their ceiling. I have seen us play low block. I have seen us play counter-attacking football under Mourinho. And these players are still conceding goals like there's no tomorrow at the end of the day.
I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this.
No.
So we're just going to move on. And we're going to quickly talk about the Chelsea-Tottenham match. Okay. Because I'm a little bit scared of Lauren right now.
I'm sitting next to her.
Because I'm like, if we don't want to do it, I can understand.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Do you want a hug?
I don't need a hug.
Are you sure? So, Liverpool. And I say this every single week. I don't know what y'all are doing. And then it's just like randomly, you see the Premier League table. 1 point behind Man City.
I told you guys at the start of the season. This is exactly what I expected.
What's going on? Aren't Liverpool seriously contending for this Premier League title?
We're not, but because...
Let me land.
The reason why is because I can see visibly there's still holes that we need to improve. Like, it's very clear we need a number six. It's very clear we need another centre-half. But the way City are playing... the way Arsenal are dropping points, we seem to still be in it. And as long as we're touching and we can go into Jan and maybe grab a couple players, who knows?
Couple players? What about the existing players? You know, McAllister. What's going on?
Endo?
Yeah, but the thing with Endo is I think he's a bit of a stop gap, in my opinion, because he's 30 years old.
He's not long term, is he?
No. Obviously, we bid for Caicedo. We didn't get him.
Oh, God. had to.
Wait, and Endo and Fernandes is 30?
No, Endo.
Where the hell is Endo?
Two different players.
Enzo!
That boy's still a baby, please.
No.
If you ain't under 25, you ain't getting into the clouds.
He's in the clouds.
So it's very clear, in my opinion, that we're looking for that long-term number six. And we still, and it's so important to the way Liverpool play, because, you know, think about prime Fabinho, so key to the way Liverpool play. So actually getting him and just a top centre-half who can stay fit, because Konate, yeah, just can't stay fit. If we can get them too, I think the whole team can come together, because you can see the potential, you can see it, but it's just not quite a complete puzzle.
I'm sorry, this is so left, yeah, but I was watching the episode last week and you putting Konate in the top centre-backs conversation was very cheeky.
I put Romero too, though. I look what a red card!
Look what happened.
I mean, Romero probably had a bigger shout than Konate.
No. Because Konate last season wasn't great, but we can't forget his World Cup performances, his Champions League performances. I think he has a lot of potential. It's just injuries that are killing him. But yeah, I think we're doing all right. Today wasn't our best performance.
Just 3-0 to Brentford that Chelsea struggled to beat at home.
But we scored the goals. Brentford had their chances, but I have to say Van Dijk is really back to his best.
I like that.
Damn.
Big shout.
He really is. Like, since he's got that captain's armband, like, fair play. He's really stepped it up.
Oh, Van Dijk is a man.
He's the type of man that I'll make bread from scratch for.
Yeah.
I thought you was about to say something else.
I was thinking, we have to cut that now.
Guys,
I realise I'm on camera. I can't tell you what's really on my mind.
The things that we do to that man. My bad, sorry. Right.
But yeah, not the best performance, but we got the points, and yeah, just pray for City away.
Because the thing is, like, at the start of the season, like, I had you guys as underdogs for the title, because I just thought that your midfield rebuild was better than a lot of people gave credit for, and I think you still got the nucleus of a good team. Obviously,
what
it's sad.
Why are you laughing at their midfield?
Oh, I'm always going to laugh, come on, man. I actually have no shame. I think keeping hold of Salah in January is going to be...
That's not a problem, he'll stay.
I'm hearing that
he wants to go.
If the Saudis come with 250...
No.
Those man came knocking on the door last minute with, like, however much...
350.
Okay, I think if he wants to leave, he'll leave at the end of the season.
350,
end of the season, maybe. January, no chance. No chance he goes anywhere.
I'm hearing they're going to come back, though. He's going to be the face of the league. They'll come back.
And they'll give him whatever the hell he wants.
He's staying.
And you know what's crazy, yeah? Mm. Once Mo puts up his Christmas tree and you lot start peltering him, he's so going to start looking and going to hand in his resignation.
This Christmas tree business. Let's just see.
I'm just saying, Christmas is coming.
Holidays are coming. I hate that, but okay.
You guys are in the Europa League as well. It's safe to say that you guys are out of your group.
They lost.
Nah, we lost. Yeah. So you lost. We probably need one more win, but.
So, but
we're still
the way that it's looking. How is it looking for you guys?
Nunes' goals in this campaign alone. That guy's a character and a half.
Oh, he is.
He's actually a character.
I actually can't hate him.
I can't.
He's so funny. It's just, he does the hardest things brilliantly and the easiest things. Like, you're just like, I could do that. But yeah, he's just Nunes. What could I say? He's just a bit of a mad one. But
I also like the way Nunes looks, but that's a conversation for another day.
Oh, my goodness.
Nunes is a team. Like,
he's like a pirate.
A pirate?
She says Jack's
parroting. I think, okay. I'll tell you what he looks like off air. Cool, so.
Liverpool have firepower. I think that's like, I think that's the difference. Summer. Like, But the thing is, like, Jota will always pop up with goals. Mm. Nunez, because Liverpool create loads of chances, he still pops up with goals, even if he misses them.
Szoboszlai as well. I'm still watching that man, because I thought this is a questionable signing. But that man is good on both of his feet.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's excellent.
I'm really glad that Luis Diaz, his dad's back.
Yeah.
That was some good news. I put him in my team because of last week. But hey. Yeah, and I guess who I took out? Jota. I had a stinker.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to take out Son for Salah, but I chose not to.
I had a stinker on FPL this week. But anyway, we're not going to talk about FPL. Regardless of my stinker, Cole Palmer scored, Haaland scored, Alvarez got the assist. I have them all in my team, so that was enough for me. Cool, so Liverpool play Manchester City when we come back from the international break. Joyce, why are you laughing?
It's not even, it's laugh of fear. It's I don't know. I'm not. I don't know what I'm expecting from that fixture. I can't lie to you. With the legs, I say with the legs that we're missing, it's just
is Swifty Stones going to be back?
It's for Stones
I fucking know, man. He didn't get called up, did he? I don't think he did. Yeah, because the injury was literally like dead recent. So no call up. So hopefully, but we don't know how bad it is at the moment either. So I haven't got a clue. So if Stones is back, maybe a bit of hope. But still, I don't know what kind of game you guys are going to bring to the Etihad. I think it'll still be absolutely fine. Favorite. I think it will still be absolutely fine. Anyways, but I'm just interested to see what kind of game gets put up by Klopp.
Pardon? Or is Arsenal top? Who's top?
We're first.
It is first by,
is it a point now? Something like that.
One point. And Ella is still, and Liverpool still massive underdogs.
No, I tell you why. One, because of this stupid 12:30 kickoff, we're always rubbish. And City
away. Kickoff.
Yeah. Really?
After international break. They want to get it television, and obviously.
They couldn't give it the Sunday slot?
That's what I'm saying. And half our players have won in South America. It's long.
Why couldn't they give it the Sunday slot? Or did Newcastle take that one again?
I don't know. Something about the Man United game or something.
Wait, Newcastle?
Oh, yeah, stuff like that. So if I think, is Man United playing at home?
Yeah, but now you can understand.
How are you telling me they're not televising Newcastle Chelsea?
Ella, I'm sorry. Like, normally, actually, no, not normally. I'm not normally back in Liverpool, but I'm gonna need you to have to hold this because I can't have Arsenal winning the league. So.
They won't. Yeah, they won't. Even if I don't think they will.
Brentford Arsenal.
Why are Tottenham?
I know it's a bit sloppy, but like, I think we're sort of on par in terms of performance as we were last season. So I'm not expecting anything crazy right now. And obviously, we all know this weird win of runs and whatever comes in after Christmas sort of thing. So
that's the thing. You just have to be there or thereabouts.
But
the thing is, you're still in a great position right now.
Exactly, we're sitting top at the moment.
That's why it's like I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, maybe City won't win the league. You don't even have to chase down the 8 or 10 points that you were doing last season. Mm-hmm. You're still there.
You're still there.
Just there waiting.
Oh, sir, I wish.
See, as time comes.
How I wish I was either one of you two. How I wish. I'm here lingering in the bottom half of the table. Of the second half of the table.
Wait, that point still didn't...
Nope.
Wow.
No, because they're like, what, 2 points off? Like, between, they're like 2 points difference shout between out Everton and worked out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, no, real talk though, shout out Philippa, because West Ham put up a great game today. That had me going. Normally, the 2 p.m. kickoffs on Sunday, I'm just using it to make food. I'm not doing nothing.
That's pure nap time.
You know what I mean? Like, I was proper tuned in. So, when we come back from the international break, Manchester City, Liverpool, and then we've got Chelsea, Newcastle, which isn't televised. Brentford, Arsenal, which is televised. Spurs, Aston Villa.
That's so strange.
What?
The television of that and not Newcastle's game.
But Brentford, Arsenal is always something that it always slaps.
Brentford
it does slap.
Always,
Brentford turn up. Spurs, Aston Villa, which I think is probably going to be the best match of the weekend.
Yeah. I'm going to be in New York, so thank Christ, don't have to watch that. It is
Lauren's birthday
peace be upon that team. When Ollie Watkins runs past, does a blindside run against Eric Dier. God. Peace be upon him.
Is Thing not back?
Who? Three games, Tima. Oh. Three games.
And
the third game is City at the Etihad.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't see me here, it's because I removed my name from the room.
Imagine if I wake up one day and Laura's name is just not there. She's left the chat.
I'm going to hide the cell because this is going to be painful, man.
It's probably going to be very painful. And the 4:30 match on the Sunday is Everton Man United, which...
That's interesting because Marva's team currently...
They've started picking up form, man.
Let's see if they can keep that form.
There's no guaranteed wins for United because Hoyland went off injured as well.
Oh. Oh, is, yeah. it with, is that with his back again?
No, the hamstring.
Tiba, leave the hamstring. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The back again.
You said the back again.
Yeah, because he didn't start for a bit. And when they first signed him, he had back issues. You know what? Yeah, that reminds me, actually. The last game, I don't know which game that was, where United were playing, was it? No, it wasn't Copenhagen. It was actually whatever league game it was. But he was getting out-muscled. Fulham. It was getting out-muscled on the wing at one point. And then he got absolutely toppled over and he was holding his back. I thought, poor kid, man.
No one was helping him. That man had to carry that team on his own. No one was helping him. But we've actually gone over time. This has probably been the most Chelsea-dominated pod we've done in a while.
Yeah, quite literally.
But it was a great... It was a great couple of matches from Chelsea. Hopefully they can keep the momentum going after the international break. We will be back next week. Next week, we actually may be joined by a couple of people from Past the Meerkats, which is kind of exciting because I really like that podcast. But make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you have your alerts on for our next episode, which will be out next week. But till then, see you later. Peace. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.